A reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 through 22. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. The word of the Lord.
As the kids are taking off, I'm going to give you a little overview. We're going to do something a little different with our sermon time this Labor Day weekend. I'm going to share a few thoughts about the passage from Mark. And then I'm going to have, I've asked Mike Bruce to come and share what it means for him to follow Jesus in his place of labor, in his workplace, and how that works out. So that's just a little warning or anticipation of what's ahead this morning. Following Jesus is what we're going to be talking about this morning. Now, that word following, we hear that in many ways in our society. Here in Vienna, in the Metro DC, across America, this past week and this next week, people are following the conventions, aren't they? I mean, following the candidates, trying to understand what's really going on there. And this is the center of all that in D.C., of course. For kids who are starting school in 2 days, following the crowd is a real challenge. Following the rules, we hear, or not following the rules, in your house, depending on how that works itself out. Following your diet, or not following your diet. Following your favorite sports team. In fact, a friend who had tickets from his workplace asked me to go with him this past Thursday to the Redskins preseason game. I have never seen more burgundy and gold apparel. I mean, it's been a year since I've been to a Redskins game. It was there are definitely people following the Redskins. Hopefully they'll have a better season. We'll see. Following someone on Facebook, or some people call that stalking people on Facebook. Following the latest trends, whether that's clothes or toys or cupcakes or whatever the trend is, following Tropical Storm Isaac, that was a big thing last week, how that was moving. And we could go on and on. In Mark 1, we see Jesus saying to two brothers, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." In fact, it's two sets of brothers he relates to in this passage. Simon and Andrew, and John, all four of them actually, and James were likely in their teens, late teens perhaps, or early 20s. And this isn't a cold call, like someone walking up to you on the street and saying, "Hey, I want to come spend the weekend with you." Somebody you don't know. No, they had been around Jesus. They were familiar with Jesus because they had been followers of John the Baptizer. And for several months, Jesus had been in that area of Galilee before he took off to walk down to Jerusalem for the Passover. That's about an 80 to 100-mile walk, depending on the route you take. So he had been gone from that region quite a while. And now he was on his way back to the area of Galilee, which was defined because the Sea of Galilee was there. And he was heading to Capernaum, as we see in our text. Capernaum being the largest of about 30-some fishing towns around the Sea of Galilee. Capernaum was on the very north point of the Sea of Galilee. And in fact, that ended up being Jesus' base of operations for most of his ministry. So Jesus is going along the seashore on his way to Capernaum, and he sees these two guys, and he says, "Follow me." What does that mean? What can we learn from that word, "follow me"? Well, the Greek, that same word is used 77 times in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to describe following Jesus. So it's a common term, and from the Greek, it literally means to come after, or to go in the same way as. Okay, another person translates it to be a companion of. In other words, to come after Jesus, to be a companion with him, to walk with him. And it's often used metaphorically to describe disciples, followers, or someone who is following Jesus, okay, is a disciple of Jesus, a learner, a student of Jesus. So Jesus is inviting these two men into a relationship with him. Follow me. Follow after me. Be a companion of mine. Come with me in this journey. To be with him, to get to know him, to learn from him. Notice his first challenge isn't, do your best to imitate me. Follow my rules. Become religious. No, none of that. He's saying, come and be with me. In two chapters later, Mark states Jesus' purpose for choosing the 12. At this point, he was challenging different people to be disciples or followers, and others, without being challenged, were following him. But two chapters later, Mark says, after a night of prayer, Jesus chose 12, whom he called also apostles, in order that they might be with him, and then that he might send them out to preach. They might be with him, and he might send them out to preach. Both are important because of their time with Jesus, with the Master. They could then be involved in the mission of Jesus as well. And notice what Jesus says he'll do. He says, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. I will make you. He says, his part, their part is to follow. His part is to work in them and work through them and to work with them to help them become fishers of men, fishers of people. And later, we know because of his ascension into heaven and what we call Pentecost today, he sends his very Spirit. He's not just with them, but he sends his very Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, or who we call the Holy Spirit, to live in each of his followers. And so it's not just a physical being with you learning, but he actually now is in each of us, helping, wanting to make us and reproduce in us his very life and mission. So what is this mission that each of us, each disciple, every follower is called to? Let's look at Jesus, how it describes it in verse 15. Could we have the passage up there? Yeah, great, thanks. In verse 15, he says, the time is now. That's not the time of day, the chronos, but that is time, kairos, the opportune time, the appointed time is now. And what's the time for? The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is here because the king is here. We know that some anticipated Jesus establishing an earthly kingdom. And there are people who believe that Judas became disillusioned because he really had thought Jesus was going to do an earthly kingdom and then ended up betraying him out of that disillusionment. Well, whatever the case there, we have the benefit 2,000 years later of understanding that Jesus was referring not to an earthly kingdom, but to a spiritual kingdom. His kingdom grows and advances one heart, one person at a time. And that occurs when a man, when a woman is changed, when a child, when a teen is changed by the gospel. And so Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That word repent is an interesting word. It literally means, it was used in military then to mean an about face. So a commander would say, repent, and his troops would do an about face. Okay? Jesus is saying, I want you to turn from yourself, do a 180 degree turn from trusting in yourself, leaning on yourself, and rather believe in, trust in, lean into the gospel. Lean into the gospel. The word gospel had a very specific meaning in that day. And it was used to communicate an objective, it was used to communicate the news of an objective, history-changing event. Okay, communicating news of a specific, objective, history-changing event. One ancient document that we have states, this is the beginning of the gospel of Caesar Augustus. What? That didn't ring right with our ears, does it? But that's how the word was used. In that case, this was a declaration that he had ascended to the throne. And heralds were sent out across the empire to announce that Caesar Augustus was now in power. And everyone was impacted by that. Well, Jesus and the first disciples purposely chose the word gospel to communicate God's good news. The gospel of Jesus and his kingdom pushing back the effects of the fall in this world. One heart, one life at a time. Where the gospel of Jesus has advanced over the centuries, we know that hospitals have been built, orphanages have been established, slaves have been freed, schools and colleges begun, people fed and clothed. Yes, and beauty is restored to gardens like the one here at Louise Archer that some of us were involved in a couple Saturdays ago. And yes, school supplies are provided to kids who don't have school bags and supplies as school starts. The gospel changes things. The gospel of Jesus changes lives, changes hearts. But God also wants us to be involved in changing changing this world, helping to push back the effects of the fall. We're called to be co-creators with him in whatever way we can to promote goodness and godness and ultimately pointing people to Jesus. So, Jesus says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they leave their nets and take off and follow him. Does that mean if we're true disciples, true followers, that we're going to leave our nets? We're going to leave our jobs? We're going to leave our homes and go someplace else? Well, Jesus does call some people to do that, but the vast majority of us as his followers, he wants to leave right where we are to help advance his kingdom among the circle of influence in which he's placed us. I went to Virginia Tech a few years ago, being the first person in my family to go to college. I had no idea what to expect leaving Huntington, West Virginia, and going down to Blacksburg. But one thing I didn't expect was meeting other students who talked about Jesus as more than just a good teacher or a good role model, which is my best understanding at that point. Because of the initiative of another student in helping me read the Gospel of John together and begin to discuss that, I came to understand the gospel and begin to lean into the gospel. And Jesus began to change my life. For the next 3.5 years, I was involved there as a student, pursuing my degree, following Jesus the best I could, and helping to be involved not just with the master, but also with his mission. I had the joy of leading some small groups, leading some fellow students to Christ, and one of those that led to Christ was a guy named Norm. After I graduated, God called me into vocational Christian ministry with Campus Crusade for Christ and now with the Navigators. And that's been for 4 decades now. God called Norm to go on and get his MBA at the Wharton School and to start his own business. And for over 30 years, he's been in Charlottesville building medical clinics and hospital wings across the Southeast. Now, Norm and Georgia, his wife, we've become good couples friends with them too, which I'm glad for. My Georgie and Georgia, it gets kind of confusing sometimes when we're together. But Norm has become a lifetime friend and really my closest friend and accountability partner over all these years. But he and Georgia, in Charlottesville there, have hosted many first-year fellowship activities, many young life outreaches and activities in their home. Norm led a men's group for years, mentored young professionals there, others in the marketplace. A few years ago, they helped start Capernaum in Charlottesville, which is Young Life's outreach to handicapped kids and young adults because their third child, an adopted daughter, is handicapped. I could go on and on, but they're advancing the gospel right where God has placed them in the ways according to their gifts and life experience and talents and abilities. Jesus wants us to be his heralds, bringing his good news to Vienna, to Oakton, to Fairfax, to Metro DC, to wherever he has placed us. I like to think of it this way. Jesus called 4 fishermen to follow him and fish for people, to influence people for his kingdom. Now, none of us here at CZV that I know of are fisher folk by vocation. And that is a word. I looked it up, fisher folk. What do you like? I looked fisherwoman. That didn't, but fisher folk came up. But if he were here, I think Jesus would call you and me. He'd want to use our respective gifts, education, skills, talents, experience. And he might say something like this. Follow me, and I will make you a coach of kids. I'll make you a gardener for God. I'll make you a leader of men or women. I'll make you a cook for Christ, taking meals to neighbors or friends. I'll make you a secretary for souls. I'll make you a parent with a purpose, a higher purpose, to influence our kids and grandkids and others for Christ. I'll make you a consultant for change. I'll make you a designer for disciples. I'll make you a hostess, gift of hospitality for holiness, to promote goodness and holiness, godliness. You may have seen the interview just shortly after Gobby Douglas, the first American to win team and All-American gold in the Olympics, the cute little African-American gal with a smile as big as life. You may have seen the interview right after that. She's been interviewed many times, I guess, since then. But I just happened to catch that. And she said, God has given me this awesome talent to represent him. Glory goes up to him, and the blessings fall down on us. It's a win-win situation. Isn't that great? A year, 2 years before that, she would have had no idea that she'd had that platform. But God gave her that platform, and she chose to use that to help influence people for Christ and to point people to God. God has uniquely created, gifted, placed you and me where we are to influence our family, our neighbors, our coworkers in a way that perhaps nobody else can. We can pray for them. We can serve and care for them. We can do our work honestly and diligently in the workplace. We can converse the gospel, whether that's in short expressions or in long conversations, as God gives the occasion. If we're following Jesus, our master, he will equip and empower each of us for the mission that he has for us in our respective place in life. And with that in view, I want to ask Mike to to come up if he would. Mike and Sarah, who read the New Testament scripture this morning, have been married, I forgot.
Many years. 18 years.
18 years. I've got double on him, but we won't go there. Exactly. And they have four children, three teens and one preteen. I think there's a picture of them. Yeah. In fact, let me get this over here while I'm talking. And Mike is the founding president and CEO of InScope, which I have a little card and I forgot to bring it up here. But it takes, my best understanding is helping to promote public and government initiatives and come alongside consulting in the areas of healthcare, defense, energy, and
financial services.
Financial services. There you go. Okay, I almost got it. So we're going to go back and forth. I'll hand that mic to him. Is this on? Great. You're a Jersey boy, right? From New Jersey.
You got a problem with that?
Yeah. I've got some great friends in Jersey. Tell us just a minute about your roots.
Sure. Grew up in an amazingly stable environment. I was born in a hospital born in a hospital 2 miles away from where I grew up for 18 years. Same house. I went to a Christian school, kindergarten through 12th grade. But behind that, were two parents who emigrated from Guyana, South America. I have a father who's legally deaf. I have a mother who worked in a hospital for 30-plus years, neither one of them with a college education, and taught three things, God, country, and education. And that's what I was brought up with. But New Jersey creates all types of products, and I am I'm one of them.
A proud son of New Jersey.
There you go.
Is the echoing happening because I'm too close? Or no? Okay. Is it me? I'm too close to him? Okay. Hey, tell us what it looks like for you to follow Jesus in your place of work.
Well, it's wonderful because some of the things that you just talked about in your message are dead on. What the Lord has taught me is that being in the business world is really living Genesis 1 and 2 all over again. I mean, my core job is creation. How do we create value for our customers? We see that God, first thing he did was create woman for man to be in relationship. We're about building relationships with our staff and with our clients. And then my job is accountability. You know, he told Adam and Eve, here's what you're to do, and he checked in on them, right? He walked in the garden. My job is to set the vision for my staff and then to hold them accountable. And so my job, creation, relationship building, and accountability definitely ties directly to what God established in the first couple chapters of Scripture.
Hmm. Fantastic. Give us a for instance of what that relationship building might look like with one of your employees.
Well, and again, you talked about following Jesus. One of the big things we talk about our company is that we're not just about profits, right? We're a triple bottom line company: profits, people, and planet. And so every day I have to model that to my employees. If the only thing I'm talking about is the dollars, then that's all that's going to drive us. But I purposely and conscientiously enter into the lives of my employees. We had a recent situation due to rising healthcare costs. We switched our healthcare plan. We had a woman who was scheduled to have very expensive surgery and had our prior health insurance cover her. And then when we switched plans, the new plan wouldn't adopt it. And, you know, as a business person, I could say, well, oh, well, that's life. But have entered into, found out about the situation, and, you know, taking up the cost to battle with the insurance company. Has nothing to do with the day-to-day business, but that has spread throughout the company where they say, you know what? The leadership cares about the people, not just about the profits. Obviously, we have to make money or else everybody goes home, but it's not just about the profits.
Great example. Well, I saw some of Sarah's handiwork when I visited last week.
Absolutely.
Visited your offices. Say something about your partnership in this.
Oh, well, you know, without Sarah, there would be no InScope. In fact, we were actually just talking about it 2 weeks ago. You know, where would I be without my wife? And I'm like, probably living at home with my mom. And that's a true story. It's exactly what I said. You know, again, going back to Genesis, we were created to be in relationship. And done properly, the two of us are becoming one. And so we're inseparable. And all those rough edges from New Jersey, she has taken great pains to smooth out. But on a serious note, she's brought out the best in me, which then enables me to lead. Leadership in any form is lonely and it's difficult. And it's great to know that I have a wife in my corner who will support me through thick and thin, through wrong or right, because that then gives me the courage to take on some very serious battles every day.
Mm. Great. I was impressed there with your design features of the office and the quotes, the creative quotes on the etched on the glass, and it's really an inspiring place to work. Gathering places for the team to come together for coffee or lunch. Building on that, your relationship with Sarah being vital. Say something about following Jesus as a father as well, if you would.
Well, my hardest job is at home. Being in the workforce, it's rewarding. There's compensation. But there's no question in my mind that our hardest and most important job is to raise, in our case, our children. And, this year has been one that has been particularly tough. You mentioned I've got, with my third child going to high school, I now have three teenagers and one preteen. Good news is they're under no disillusionment that I am perfect at all. I mean, I took great pains to drive that home. But I know that if they're to follow me, if I'm to set the example, I represent in many cases, God the Father. And that's intimidating because I fail every day. And I've had to learn because we've blinked and suddenly they've gone from kids that go to nursery to young adults that are sitting at church with us. And so when I look and what I'm trying to do in Scripture is look at how Jesus taught his disciples. They're not just subjects to be ordered around. Not that I could tell them what to do anyway. But he gave them examples. He questioned them. He entered into relationship with the disciples. And we are striving to do that every day with our kids because, parenting doesn't end when they go to college or afterwards. Yeah. It's a lifelong relationship. And we hope to be able to preserve that relationship with them and, as they discover their faith for themselves. But bar none. They come home from school, they're tired. My wife has been working around the home all day long. I'm tired. So we're toiling all day, and to come and to be our best selves with a couple hours that we have each day, it's tough. And I I'm so appreciative of those who can get it right, because it's really hard.
Mm. I'm not sure any of us get it right, but but we continue to pursue Jesus and follow that goal.
Amen.
Yeah. Of exalting him. Well, thank you. We could go on and on, but let me pray for Mike and Sarah, their family, and also for all of us. Loving Father, we acknowledge your grace toward us, each of us, even the fact that you would see the potential in us and call us to know you as Master and be with you in mission. We praise you for that, for your grace. And I thank you for Mike, for Sarah, for their family, and ask that you would continue to empower them, as I pray as well for each individual and each family here in our church and those who are on the road this weekend, that you would continue to keep our eyes on you, Jesus, that we might follow you with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, that you might be glorified, that this, that your kingdom might advance another heart, another life, because of our influence. And we pray this in the mighty name of Christ, Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.